superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
I like this type of party.
And this is your Super Week.
I'm coming for you.
Covering the biggest game. With the biggest guest.
Hold that ball, three. I love it.
Today's guests. Three-time Super Bowl champion Willie McGinnis, NFL Network analyst Steve Smith Sr., co-host of Good Morning Football, Kyle Brandt, 2020 Heisman Trophy winner Devontae Smith, plus two-time Pro Bowler Michael Griffin. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show. We are live in Los Angeles, California, here on the Wednesday of Super Bowl week. We're not close enough. You know what? I love bringing in pop culture references best we always can. Good to see you, Chris Brockman,
hey,
Mike Del Tufo over there,
Rich?
And TJ Jefferson, our social media grandmaster.
What do you do, baby?
The Monty Python's Holy Grail. Remember the film? For those, I know I'm potentially dating.
Hey, Rich,
I can't believe
drawing.
I'm dating myself.
You really dating
Hey,
yourself.
Look, there's a scene where they storm the castle and you see one of the members of the Knights of the Round Table storming a castle, and he gets further and further away with each. He's running towards the castle, and then they cut back to him, and he seems further and further away. That's what I feel about Super Bowl 55. I'm not there yet. We're not there yet.
It's only Wednesday.
Nobody's going to say anything, but we'll keep talking. We'll keep asking. You know, the story of yesterday was that the NFL's going to have 25,000 fans there and 30,000 cardboard cutouts, which means one way that we could get ready for the between now and then is, hey, let's talk about that cardboard cutout secondary market. That's going to be lit. How much is a cardboard cutout going for?
Mike, you're
going
to get one?
Thinking about doing that.
So,
I have one already.
Again, so we just sit here and we wait, and we try and figure out what is going to be the moment. What will be this moment? Because last year, we were talking about how the 49ers pass rush could be the one to bottle up Mahomes. And they did all the way until the Wasp. Remember that play that they called the Wasp?
Oh, yeah.
Was something that they pulled against the Patriots from the year before in the playoffs? Or year before in the regular season is what it was. Remember that Sunday night game between the Patriots and the Chiefs that we were all settled in? It was Brady versus Mahomes, I think, won. I think that was the first time they ever faced each other, if I'm not mistaken. And it was we were all excited about it. Then they face each other in the AFC Championship game again and so on and so forth. But it was a play that they brought out at the special moment that we didn't see coming, and it was the beginning of the comeback. We didn't think there was going to be this comeback in the Super Bowl that we saw in every single game that the Chiefs had played up to that point. And then even with that comeback, even with that fourth quarter lead taken by Kansas City, San Francisco had their opportunities. One we talked about with George Kittle yesterday. Talked about that with George. George was wide open on, I believe, a third down over the middle. Chris Jones, for crying out loud, defensive lineman right in the middle of their line, drops back, batted down a pass, and we were all like, what the hell are they throwing for? They should run it out, run the ball, run the clock out. You have the lead. And then, of course, Kansas City took that lead. As opposed to us sitting here going, well, actually, it was an excellently called play. He was wide open. Garoppolo was ready to hit him, right in the numbers, and then a Chief makes an incredible play. Even with all of that, our friend of the program, Emmanuel Sanders, is wide open, heading towards the post. And Garoppolo missed him. So we could sit here and break it all down best we can, which is, to me, if you do want to go X's and O's right here, to me, it is how are they going to handle Kelce? And I know, you know, Tyreek Hill is the guy that is always front and center in so many people's minds. But to me, it is how is this Bucs defense going to handle Travis Kelce with the linebackers that, to me, the reason why the Bucs have been able to really come on strong in the playoffs, of course, there's Brady being Brady. We always focus on him. And yes, we do see Jason Pierre-Paul, and we have seen Shaq Barrett do their thing. But what Lavonte David and what Devin White have been doing from their linebacker positions has been particularly special. And how will they be able to handle Kelce? Because with Hill, you man him up if you want and then put somebody over the top. You can somehow try and confuse Mahomes in some way, shape, or form. Get him off the spot. Make sure he can't get it to Hill, because the Niners did a good enough job of that for three quarters last year in the Super Bowl. But it's Kelce. Kelsey's the guy, man. Kelce is the guy that is, it's the emoji shrug. And I know Tyreek Hill can do it too, because he's so damn fast and he's so damn special from that position. Kelce's the one. And if you can try and corral, how do you corral him and make sure Hill doesn't go off and make sure the quarterback who can find them with all different sorts of arm angles, how can that quarterback also not get out of the pocket where he makes so many special plays? No look, three-quarter arm, crosses body, all of that. That's the conundrum for the Buccaneers. Can they keep Kelce from going off? To me, that is Super Bowl 55, as I see it right here 5 days from now. Yes, what can the Chiefs do defensively to get Brady off the spot? That's where the Steve Spagnuolo card comes into play. I think that, if I'm not mistaken, was storyline number 9 of the top 10 storylines of Super Bowl 55. He's the Brady kryptonite.
Number 9.
It was, as a matter of fact, 13 years ago today that Spagnuolo's Giants defense, with just 4 sets of hands in the dirt, 4 guys, that's it. It was rushing 4 guys. Now they would rotate in for Strahan and Tuck and O.C. Umanure and all those guys on that Giants defensive line to try and get Brady off the spot. And they did. It was 13 years ago tonight that the Giants beat Tom Brady and the Patriots, ruined their undefeated season, and got the Tyreek catch. So, one of Chris Brockman's worst moments in the history of his sporting life has been bar mitzvah today. So I don't know what to get you. I mean, you can write you a check for chai, which is the letter chai to about life in the Hebrew alphabet is the 18th letter. So we always write checks for, you know, eight, multiples of 18.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. I will light a candle on that.
You can do that.
Cake.
Thank you guys.
There you go.
Appreciate
I will
that.
Do that.
Can offer you that. 13 years today.
Wow.
That was brutal. What a brutal day.
In Arizona.
What a brutal
day.
And that's another way that we can pass this time.
Hey.
Were you at that game, Rich?
I was at that game, sir. I was covering the Super Bowl. I was in the corner.
You're on TV. I wasn't. You guys were all on TV.
I was on TV.
On the opposite side of the field.
What the hell are you doing on the field? What are you doing on the field?
I was getting screamed at, actually, by the truck.
Of course
I wasn't
you were.
In the truck.
Of course you were.
But you guys are all on video on that.
Well, we were in the corner of the end zone getting set to do our post-game show when Plexico Burress.
You were in Plexico's corner?
You know, and that's the thing, too, is that everybody, you know, thinks maybe that was the end of the game. The Tyreek catch was the end of the game. They still had to score a touchdown.
Yeah.
And Burress was wide open, man. Touchdown right in his hands. Boom. Wide open. Ran right towards the corner. I watched that thing unfold. I mean, that was some of those moments that I've had, been fortunate to have, knock on wood, getting ready for post-game shows. I remember watching the Tyreek catch. I literally turned around going, that's incomplete. All right, let's see what's next.
Yeah, we all thought
I was sitting there thinking, all right, you know, here we go. I can't believe Eli got out of that, but too bad – that he couldn't make the catch. And then I'm like, what? And I looked up on the screen. I'm like, oh, my God, he caught it on his helmet. And I thought, could this possibly be happening? Will they? Because the way that they can play this out is Brady doesn't get the shot to march down the field the way that he won his first and second Super Bowls, by the way. Because that was the first Super Bowl I covered for NFL Network, standing on a side, you know, in the end zone. And I'll fully admit to you here, as we're going down memory lane here, certainly when we're going to reveal our poll question, which I think is dynamite today, even though I usually go more positive than negative. But Brockman, I acceded to your wishes today.
It's a good one.
We'll get to that. But I remember it was the I remember this like it was yesterday. It was the first Super Bowl we covered for the NFL Network. And it was the first time I was ever on the field for a football game in my career and life.
Yeah.
Because I did baseball at ESPN. And here I was, 11 weeks into my NFL Network tenure. I'm in the end zone. Patriots are moving away from where I'm standing against the Carolina Panthers. And we're thinking, is Brady going to really do this again? Because that was just 2 years after he had beaten the Rams in a last possession setup Vinatieri victory. And here it was in a last possession setup Vinatieri possibility. And every single time Brady threw the ball, he was throwing it directly to a Carolina Panther. And I thought, oh, you know what? That's a, it's an interception. He's going to lose. And then a member of the Patriots receiving corps would just run right in and swoop and grab it. And again, like I said, this is my first time on the field for a game. It took me till the third time I went through that sensation, I realized Brady's thrown to a spot. And he's on point. He's not having near misses and putting everything on the line, living on the edge. No, he's actually on point here. And then Vinatieri kicked another one. And then Brady did not appear in our postgame set. And Belichick walked right by us, right to Chris Berman. And I'm like, okay, okay. He was with us this week, Tuesday, on NFL Total Access. He was one of our first guests. Then the next year in Jacksonville, Florida, Brady didn't show up at the set. And Belichick walked right to Berman. Okay. Yeah. Robert Kraft stopped by both times. He brought the trophy with him. It was good to see that up close and personal. Then the next year, Pittsburgh Steelers. Big Ben didn't get the MVP. Actually, he had a statistically poor game. It was Hines Ward who got that one. Jerome Bettis stopped by.
Yeah.
And we got Bill Cowher. That was great. 2006 Super Bowl. Peyton Manning won the MVP, but he did not stop by on our set after the game.
Miami, right?
He was in Miami. Miami. Yeah, he beat the Bears. Beat the Bears.
Prince halftime.
Beat the Bears. And in the rain.
In the rain.
He did not stop by. And I think the reason why is I think he was, I'll say it, I think he was pissed at Dion talking about how the Colts would steal signs of the Ravens when he was on the Ravens. I think Peyton heard that and was like, he's not stopping by to talk to Dion. I believe that happened. Everyone will deny it, but I believe that happened that night. So 2007, 13 years ago tonight, first ever quarterback to stop by the NFL Network postgame show set. Took four cracks at it. Eli stopped by.
Eli.
And he was out of his mind, as was Coughlin. Coughlin, grinning year to year. Just 3 weeks after his face was broken in the frostbite of the frozen tundra. I could go on and on and on about these stories of how we started at NFL Network and how this is our 19th Super Bowl. 19. So you could double the number of hours I'll be hosting a show with Willie McGinnis, our first guest, and Steve Smith, our second guest, and Kyle Brandt, our third guest. You could double that and add two more, and that's the number of Super Bowls that we've been covering. 8.5 hour pregame show with me and Willie and Steve Smith and Kyle Brandt, the rest of the Good Morning Football gang, and Michael Irvin and Steve Mariucci and Kurt Warner. We'll be talking to those three guys about the Super Bowl. And Michael Griffin, by the way, of Food Network's Cupcake Guys training camp. He's a Longhorn, longtime player in the National Football League, two-time Pro Bowler. He and Brian Arakpo have a show together. We'll be chit-chatting with Michael later on. And Devontae Smith's going to stop by.
Nice.
We start looking over the steering wheel a little bit to the talent and evaluation portion. He was at the Senior Bowl. Very rare for an actual senior of his caliber.
He's a trophy winner.
You know what? It's not just that, Christopher. He took down everything else. He took down absolutely everything else, and we'll walk through his list later on. Our poll question is dynamite. We're going to get to that. You want to unpack it real quick here, and then we'll dive into it after Willie McGinnis? Go for it, Chris.
Yeah, real quick. As we said,
because we talked about the Tyree catch.
It's the 13th anniversary of the helmet catch.
Mazel tov.
What's the worst way to lose the Super Bowl?
Oh, boy.
The worst way to lose the Super Bowl. The helmet catch. The Butler pick.
Oh, boy.
Kevin Dyson tackled at the one. Scott Norwood missed a field goal.
I've got a great story about the Dyson being tackled at the one. I've got a great story about that one.
I still can't believe he didn't score.
Tackled at the one. Tackled at the 1 yard line.
By who? Mike Jones.
So Eddie George would vote for that. Tom Brady would vote for helmet catch.
Yep.
Or Rodney Harrison would vote for the helmet catch. It's the worst way to lose it. Okay. Scott Norwood and all the Bills fans are going to vote for that one. What's the fourth one that you put down there?
Butler pick.
Butler pick. Yeah, Butler. Seahawks fans, feeling you.
Butler pick.
Okay.
Reacting.
There's a whole big bunch of glass half empty on your poll question today, but we'll be...
why not?
What are you going to do?
It's Wednesday. Let's just get through it.
What are you going to do?
Let's get through it.
Oh, and hey, by the way, congratulations to the Brooklyn Nets to their most impressive victory since Harden came along.
It was a good win
taking care of the Los Angeles Clippers. They finished up. All three of those guys were having a big hand in that one, too. All three of them. Fred VanVleet has just scored again. By the way, Cooper, my 9-year-old, has got him in his fantasy league, was losing his mind. Oh, you have Fred VanVleet?
I have VanVleet and Hurley.
Oh, very good. Guess who I have tonight? I've got Lonzo Ball tonight.
Hey!
All right, so there's really lots to talk about on this edition of the Rich Eisen Show. Let's come back so we're on time for our friend, the double nickel. It's Super Bowl 55, and the man who wore it for the Patriots for Tom Brady's first three Super Bowl wins, Willie McGinnis, when we come back.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
It's that time of year, people. Spring has sprung. And that means spring cleaning, or at least the partner in your life is demanding that you do it. Whether that means stocking up on cleaning supplies or swapping out your winter clothes for new spring clothes, make sure you're using Ibotta and get real cash back with every purchase. Ibotta is a free app that gives you the most cash back every time you shop on hundreds of items from groceries to beauty supplies to toys. The average Ibotta user earns $256 per year. That could cover the cost of an entire shopping trip, that flight you've been eyeing, or the fancy dinner you've been craving. Join the over 50 million users and earn cash back every time you shop from over 2,700 brands and retailers. And right now, Ibotta is offering our listeners $5 for just trying Ibotta by using the code EISEN when you register. Just go to the App Store or Google Play Store and download the free Ibotta app to start earning cash back and use my code EISEN. That's Ibotta in the Google Play or App Store and use my code EISEN.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
We're here on the Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH. Number to dial. He is part of the 8.5-hour extravaganza that I'm proud to host for NFL Network on Sunday. NFL game day morning, 9 a.m. Eastern time, all the way to 5:30 in the afternoon for Super Bowl 55. The double nickel himself from those first dynastic Patriots teams, Willie McGinnis, part of that broadcast and back here on the show. How are you, Willie?
I'm doing well, Rich. How are you?
I'm doing fine. It's like Groundhog Day. Here we are. Let's talk Brady, right? In the Super Bowl. How are they going to stop Brady? It's crazy. I could just pull out my notes from like 2000 when you were playing against him, and it's the same thing. Get him off the spot. Can you confuse him? It's crazy. Willie. Nuts.
It's pretty surreal, Rich. I was just talking to a couple of guys, and I did notice something. These two offenses are the most talented offenses in each conference. If you look at the Kansas City Chiefs and all the weapons they have offensively, and if you look at the Bucks, all the talent that they have, I don't think you could find another team on each side that has this much talent playing in a Super Bowl that's going to go head to head. It's pretty explosive. Like there's a thousand storylines that you can just go up and down and talk about in matchups and different things. And it makes it for a great game.
So let's just, before we get into some deeper X's and O's, let's just again get inside Brady's mind best you can tell. Is there any part of him, quiet moment, where he's apparently got tons of them because he mentioned Giselle took the kids out of the house, so he's home alone like Kevin, you know, back in the movies, to watch film and just being able to focus on everything. Do you think he sits there and thinks to himself at any point in time, you know, that Mahomes is on pace, Mahomes is getting off to a very nice start here, that it is possible with everything set up that his records that he's setting right now could way down the road be threatened, and that's part of the motivation for him on Sunday, as if he needs any more? Is that, do you think, at all possible, Willie?
I think as a competitor, Rich, the answer is yes, in a sense. I think as a competitor, you always want to use whatever it is to motivate you. Whether people are saying you're the old head, is what they're calling them, the old head, and the young kid on the block is coming to take over. If somebody's saying he's on pace to break every record and everything you've done, whatever the noise is out there, I think as a competitor that's had so much success over the years, so much success, in order not to become complacent, in order to always compete at a high level and have an edge and find something to be upset and motivated and mad about going into a game, you can use whatever it is. And I think for Brady, he understands where he is. He doesn't care about where he's been and what he's accomplished. He just knows this is the next one. It's big. It's legendary. It's historic. And it's something in a lot of ways that's never, ever happened in NFL history that he's doing. The journey and the road he's on. And I would say for, you know, Mahomes, yes, he's on track to do a lot of great things, but there are so many things that have to be in place with coaches, with players, with talent, with mentality, with systems, whatever it is that you got to keep in place to have this type of longevity and long-term success that it just gets in the way and makes it so tough. So in my opinion, what Tom Brady has achieved over his career will never, ever be duplicated by another player again. There's just too many things that have to factor in, have to stay in place for it to happen. And I think he's talking to himself, saying, I want more and more and more. The more they say I can't do, the more I'm going to do. I'm at six. Nobody's had six but Jordan and a whole other sport. I want seven. After seven, I'm ready to go after a couple of weeks and start working on number eight. That's just his mentality. He's not going to get complacent. He's not going to get relaxed until, like he says, until I suck. And then I'll sit back and reflect on everything I've done and all the accomplishments and all the other stuff. But right now, like, history is continuously in the making, and he understands that.
That's why I've said his legacy is already way secured, because his legacy is too much is never enough. That's his legacy, you know.
Right.
Period and end of story. William McGinnis here on the Rich Eisen Show. So, look, you know better than anybody else that crazy things happen in a Super Bowl, and you never know what can turn a game. But that said, the matchup that you think Super Bowl 55 hinges on, X's and O's, is what, Willie McGinnis?
I think it's going to come down to the defenses. I think we both understand clearly how explosive both offenses is. So it's going to be the defense that when either team gets in the red zone, at least 50% of the time or half the time, can you limit them to field goals instead of touchdowns? The pass rush is going to be crucial for both sides. The Bucs, I think, have a better pass rush overall because they got interior and guys on the outside that can win the one-on-one battle across the board. The Chiefs, they have Chris Jones and they have Clark. They got guys that can get there as well. And I think if you can't control the trenches and dictate that and contain the quarterback, whether it's Brady, getting to the pocket and impacting the pocket with Mahomes, keeping him in the pocket and putting pressure on him with 4 to 5 only, so you can drop everybody else and be physical with the receivers at the line, you don't have a chance. You don't have a chance in this game. We've already seen playing against the Chiefs, whether it's zone, whether it's man, whatever it is, they got an answer for it. So you've got to come up with multiple ways to be effective, and it starts up front. You can't get pressure, win a one-on-one battles, which they just lost their left tackle. The center's on COVID alert right now, and they've had to shuffle and move guys around. That's going to be crucial in this game. Which front seven and front four can affect the pocket the most?
Well, the one matchup I came on the air to mention, and I'm not mentioning this to you so you can echo back whether I'm right or not. The reason why I bring it up is you are, clearly one of the best linebackers I've ever seen play. And I just think the way that Lavonte David and Devin White have been playing have been off the charts, and here comes Kelce their way. To me, this is the matchup for Super Bowl 55. How do you see that one playing out?
It is. It is the matchup because I think Todd Bowles has, he has done it, Rich. He has mixed coverages. He has mixed the pass rush. He's brought Devin White and Lavonte David, but these are two of the guys that are the best probably at playing in space and coverage in the league as a tandem. They're probably the best. And when you look at Kelce, he's the guy that is the crucial part of their offense, because he plays every single receiver position. The X, the Y, the Z, the H. He plays the FM motion. He plays in the slot. He plays everywhere. So you have to have a guy physical enough to line up. You got to have a guy athletic and fast enough to run with him and to be able to contend when the ball's in the air. So whether you're mixing a linebacker like Devin White, who we saw in coverage, can pick the ball off, play great in space, or Lavonte David, or you're putting a safety, and one of your linebackers underneath, it just depends. But he is the guy that is going to break everything open, and you have to stop no matter what. It's Kelce. So you got to figure out how to mix and match that and change things around. But one way, it's not going to win the game for you defensively, because they have so many adjustments and personnel groups and formations that they use. It's tough. It's tough. Andy Reid and Bieniemy, they do a great job and make it hard for any defense.
Ask the poll question of Willie McGinnis before we send him on to his day. Chris, he's got a lot on his plate today. Go for it.
All right, Willie, sadly, it's the anniversary of the helmet catch. Sorry, bud. What's the worst way to lose the Super Bowl? The helmet catch, the Butler pick, Kevin Dyson tackled at the one, or Scott Norwood missing a field goal?
Wow. Well, I wasn't there for the helmet catch. I was in Cleveland, so that one didn't hurt me too bad. I wanted to see my guys win, but I wasn't on that squad. I would say the Dyson, man, coming up like an inch or a half a yard short of reaching the ball in there, giving that last effort or whatever, getting in there. Field goals are tough, but I would say that, just being so close but so far.
Huh. Well, I mean, the question for the regular season, what's the worst way to lose a regular season game, was having one of the best defensive players go off due to cramping but come back right away and tackle Edgerrin James in a game. That was the winner of that poll question, really.
Oh, wow. Now it's crapping. I didn't know it was crapping. I thought I jammed my knee in the turf or something. Now it's crapping.
Is that what it
was? The story changes every time, Rich. It gets better and better every time.
But, I mean, you came back like running like a deer, Willie. I mean, that's a Hall of Famer you stopped.
Sprinted the midfield.
Yeah. Yeah, Willie.
Hey, man.
What a miraculous recovery.
Mind over matter. Mind over matter.
We're going to have a fun 8.5 hours, Willie. We're going to have a fun 8.5 hours on Sunday hanging out.
Yes, we will. I look forward to it.
I look forward to it too, Willie. You take care of yourself. Thanks for the call. I always cherish it. Thank you.
See you, buddy.
Truly.
Thanks, guys.
You got it. It's Willie McGinnis, at Willie McGinnis on both Twitter and Instagram. Here on The Rich Eisen Show. Always have fun with my guys. They know it's out of love. Colts fans don't like Willie McGinnis.
Yeah.
They don't like him at all.
I know.
They don't like him one bit. That was one of the biggest controversies when we came on the air.
Oh, man.
We were just 3 weeks old, I think. What was the date of that? What was the date? I bet you it was late November 03. We started early November of 03. And that was a big to-do. Patriots and Colts. That was it. Brady and Peyton Manning. Come on now.
Week 13, November 30th.
Dude, we came on the air week 11. That was it. Willie was out, right? He's out. Hold on a second. Time out. Colts want to go. They want to go. But Willie's hurt. Off the field he goes. One play later. Who comes back in and stops? Edgerrin James on the goal line.
And then he sprinted to midfield and was like,
like Christian Laettner just beat Kentucky.
It was amazing.
It was great.
It was great.
Oh, man. Yeah, Peyton versus Brady, well, that was, you know, because Peyton had just, and the Colts had just departed the AFC East. Year before is when they realigned. And we're like, well, that's the way that one went. Here we were going to have Brady, you know, Brady wins the Super Bowl in the last year of the Colts being in the division. And just when you thought here could be right. A new rivalry, well, that's the way that one went. And then because both teams finished in first place every in their year. Divisions every year, the scheduling gods saw fit to have them face off every year anyway. And the Brady Manning Patriot Colts rivalry was born that was also came to a monster head. The worst of it for Belichick was when he went for it on fourth down in an overtime game.
Like deep in his
right, deep in his own territory because he didn't want to give the ball back to Peyton Manning. And it was that Welker who was stopped just like, I think he kind of double caught it. First catch would have been the first down, but the double catch was after he was pushed back. And then it was just an easy walk-in for the Colts to win it.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I love this memory lane stuff.
This was an all-time great game. Edgerrin James, Willie stopped him on the one-yard line with 14 seconds left. After the Colts threw it on third and one.
Right. And then, of course, the that 2006 Super Bowl, I think, for the Colts, they did have to go through Brady in the AFC Championship game.
Yeah, in Indy, though.
In Indy.
And the Pats had a huge halftime
lead. Huge lead. And it looked like, okay, Brady's going to do it again. And then Manning won that one.
And Rishay Caldwell dropped like a key third down.
Oh, may he rest in peace, right? He just recently passed. 844-204-RICH, number to dial, and we'll dive more into our poll question. And I've got this great story about that one-yard line stop that the Titans fans don't really want to revisit or relive, but I've got a great story about that. That's coming up next here on The Rich Eisen Show. Let's talk Sleep Number, people, because quality sleep is so essential. That's why the Sleep Number smart bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, and the same thing for your partner, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side, helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature, quiets your snores or your partner's? Sleep Number does that. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70. 10 numbers apart, but it truly is the world of difference. The Sleep Number sleep that you get is unbelievable. You will love it. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now you could save 50%. That's 50%. On the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Check out our new NBA show, Beyond the Arc, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can find me, John Gonzalez, NBA insider Bill Reiter, and Ashley Nicole Moss 5 days a week talking all things NBA. Whether you're looking for insightful discussions, upbeat commentary, breaking news, interviews, or coverage of all the biggest stories in the NBA, our new show is the place to be 5 days a week. Download and follow Beyond the Arc on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Wow. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. So I can't wait for NBA action tonight. Because tonight in our fantasy league will be the unveiling of Lonzo Ball on my team. And does Porzingis play tonight for TJ Jefferson? The Mavericks play tonight?
I even
this will be great. Oh, you didn't even
let's check. Let's check.
Didn't even check. Well, I have another trade in your inbox, sir. Since you love Blake Griffin so much, I'm offering him for I'm offering him for Porzingis for two reasons. One is I would like Porzingis back. Mm-hmm. For those who may not know, I offered
Porzingis does play tonight.
I offered Porzingis to TJ Jefferson. He's in last place. He needs as many star players as he possibly can.
We
get.
Don't need to mention that every
no,
day.
But it's a germane fact, and
we know what that means.
What it means is an important fact. It's crucial to mention because I reached out to you. Because I know you are in need of star players because of your current standing in dead effing last in the Rich Eisen Show Big Ballers
really
Fantasy
love,
League here on NBC Sports on Peacock. So I offered Porzingis to you for LaMelo Ball. The only problem is the L ball that's on your roster is Lonzo. I did not have my glasses on when I just made that trade offer and wrote in to the line that I included for the in the comments box, my unicorn for your rookie. You just went right past all that and eventually, after a day, hit accept. And Chris Brockman.
What did you say? After how long?
A day.
Okay, because yesterday you said it was the same day when I told you it was more than a day.
No, it was a day. I offered it to you. I offered it to you on Monday night, Tuesday before our show yesterday. I said to you, there's a trade in your box or whatever it was. It was Monday. I offered to you Sunday or what have you. Yesterday was the day where you put it in front of the Rich Eisen Show populace that said, yes, reverse the trade. You didn't care. You went right right past it. And as the commissioner, you sent it through. So now that we're up to speed, I've got Lonzo tonight. He's got Porzingis tonight. I've seen Blake Griffin the last few days and, you know, funny guy. Blake Griffin, funny guy.
Like a clown?
He was, you know, he's got some great games, including this year, but I just decided, you know what, I've had enough of Blake. And I said it out loud. You said, oh, I love him. I'm like, okay, I'll trade you him for Porzingis. Two reasons. One, I want Porzingis back. And two, I know there's no other K Porzingis in the league I could misconstrue him for.
Well done.
And trade for another player that and I looked it up. There's no other Griffin in the NFL.
Oh good.
There's no Bob Griffin. There's no Bill Griffin.
You mean in the NBA?
In the NBA.
Yeah, was what I say in the NFL?
Yeah.
Yeah, because Michael Griffin, formerly NFL's on the show. So I've got a lot going on my mind.
I understand. I will review your trade offer. You know, I'll take it into consideration. You know, I love Porzingis so much. And you know, he just bought an apartment. So
near you,
yes,
in your virtual world, got it. Hey, man. Last night the Brooklyn Nets closed out the Clips, and all three guys played. There was no load management or anything like that. No, like back to back. So somebody's got a back, or somebody's got a hip, or somebody's got a. You've seen a lot of that in the NFL, in the NBA this year. Seen a ton of that. All three of them were there, and all three of them made shots.
They're number one in offense efficiency. They're also last in defensive efficiency. So I hit the over last night.
Oh, God. Is that why you're bringing that up?
Yeah.
Okay,
just
very good. I don't, as you know, understand when you mention such things here as a National Football League employee. I don't understand what you're talking about. But
when they're all clicking, man, that's a dangerous team.
Okay.
It's a dangerous team.
Nobody got thrown out courtside, right? Nobody got the gate last night?
No.
Because they feel entitled that they can spew at an NBA player?
That story.
It's so heartening crazy to see fans who feel that they are entitled when they buy a ticket to say whatever the hell they want at a player and say that they shouldn't get anything in return verbally. Great to see that that's still apparently that entitlement still lasts in a pandemic. Who knew? So you can say whatever the hell you want to of an NBA player with your mask down, too. And I'm thinking, sitting there, what the hell are fans doing courtside anyway, anywhere indoors?
And they want to have an all-star game there.
It was literally...
It's Florida.
I don't understand.
It was Atlanta.
No, it was Atlanta.
Oh, okay.
Atlanta, yeah.
Well, anywhere down there, they
don't
care.
I don't understand it.
They don't care.
So I guess you won't be at the all-stars affair that they're going to be setting up.
I don't know.
Courtside Karen will not be, unless they'll have some sort of competition for courtside Karens.
Big mad.
Cutouts.
And by the way, I don't know if I retweeted or I liked last night. Somebody put out a video of all the great moments that LeBron's had with fans over the last, 15 years of his career.
Right.
So, honestly, I saw that the other night. I'm like, first of all, wait a minute. There's fans courtside at NBA games? I didn't know that. I guess there are some places that are letting some in. And, so if you're going to start screaming stuff and an NBA player, you could say, LeBron's got rabbit ears. Somebody's paid a good amount of money to sit there. Certainly in a pandemic, they're coming out and supporting. But if you're saying magic words, see ya. Out.
And her mask was pulled down.
Pulled down. Like, oh, my gosh.
What are we doing?
I'm sorry. See you later. There's no time for this stuff anymore.
No time.
I don't have patience for it. I don't have patience for it whatsoever. So, okay, 844-204-RICH, number to dial here on the Rich Eisen Show. Look, Manny in El Paso, Texas, one of our favorites. How you been, Manny?
Hello, gentlemen. How we doing? I'm okay for the moment.
Okay, great. For the moment. Ah, yes, good one. I love it. For the moment. I like it.
There you go. It's Black History Month. It's a time to empower. And I want to empower TJ's wrestling name. So somehow, I think the judge is out of the question, but here's also what I got. I got Top Junk, Truth and Justice, Trick Jumping, and 2 Jack. Whatever you pick, DJ, it'll be great because you have Mike as a tag team partner. That way it's TJ and the DJ. And right away, Mr. Eisen.
I like that.
I heard that a former president flew away on his borrowed Air Force One playing your go-to karaoke song. That doesn't sit well with me, Mr. Eisen.
No.
You have to take back your song, sing it on the set, sing it at home, so you can slam that mic down and simply say, that's how you do it.
That's how you do it. That's right. Yeah, I know. Exactly. Who do you think's going to win the Super Bowl, Manny? Who do you think's going to win?
We want to see that. I want to see it on the set. I want to see a home video of it. Anyway, gentlemen,
it's out there.
Enjoy the game.
Yes.
There's nothing but love from the Sun City. Let's watch some football. Goodbye, gentlemen.
There you go. Peace out. Manny out.
Rack him.
Yeah, he just had an agenda and he was out, as always. I appreciate that he echoes back what we say here.
I was going to add him to the Super Bowl prediction list.
But I know, I was about to ask.
There was so much going on there. I really didn't get everything that Manny was saying.
He just had a lot. TJ and the DJ.
I mean, it's like BJ and the Bear.
There you go.
That's an old one.
So our poll question, where does that currently stand now, Chris? Because you thought it was going to be split right down.
I thought
quarters,
it would be
four
pretty
quarters.
Split. These are brutal ways to lose a Super Bowl. The helmet catch, the Butler pick, Dyson tackled at the one.
Yes.
Scott Norwood missed a field goal. Right now, the helmet catch is at 9%.
Yeah.
Kevin Dyson, 21%.
Yes.
Scott Norwood, 23%.
Malcolm Butler interception.
Malcolm Butler, 48%.
I mean, come on. That was like...
Well, a couple things here. The helmet catch didn't cost them the Super Bowl.
No,
it was just
help.
Well, it breathed life into an offensive push that the Giants were struggling to have all game long. I mean, Brady was struggling, but so was Eli. I mean, this was a defensive battle.
This is a defensive battle.
13 years ago tonight.
I mean, the Pats were 14-point favorites.
You know, there were. Let's put it this way. There were no chunk plays for the Giants that night. Zero. None. And then they had two. The helmet catch and then the one to Plex in the end zone. So.
Was the helmet catch on third down?
That one I don't remember off the top of my head.
I'm trying to look up right now.
And we talked about it yesterday because I believe it was the anniversary yesterday or 2 days ago. The Malcolm Butler grab. I've never been in a stadium where I've seen fans who are crying because their team was about to lose become so elated, and fans that were so elated because they knew their unstoppable running back was going to get the ball again, and instead it was a throw, and a guy they've never heard of caught the pass. They were so elated, they were crying. I'd never seen that before. Tyree Catch was 3rd and 5. Chris, looked like it was going to be a sack, and then a 4th down. The
goal. Yeah, it should have been 4th and 15.
4th and long.
Least, yeah.
I know. So it was obviously a huge momentum swing, yeah. But it wasn't. Didn't cost them the game. They still could have played defense from there.
Right.
By the way, two of the biggest plays made for the Patriots in their Super Bowl runs. Hightower was the one who tackled Marshawn.
Yeah.
Because it looked like Marshawn was going in the end zone.
Yeah.
To set up the end game scenario.
And he played that game, I think, with a torn labrum, so he tackled him with one arm on the 1 yard line.
And didn't Hightower also come up with a huge play against the Falcons?
Made the play on Matt Ryan, the fumble. That kind of got everything.
They've been going.
Yeah.
Right? And here's the Dyson story, man. So I was on ESPN back in the day, and I was asked to go and watch a Super Bowl. With Leonard Marshall of the Giants and the coach of, I believe, the Nashville Oilers at the time, or the Tennessee Oilers as they were known. Okay. Jeff Fisher. And it was, you know, hey, fans, come to the boardwalk in Orlando at Disney World and watch the Super Bowl with a SportsCenter anchor and a head coach and a football player and come on and hang out. This was the Super Bowl where the Broncos beat the Packers. And if you recall, the Packers let the Broncos score at the end to have a shot to try and tie the game. They knew that the Broncos were going to score. They didn't want to let them take the time down all the way to kick a field goal and win. They let them score. And we were sitting there asking each other, and fans were asking, if the Packers do tie this game, do they go for 2 and win? And Jeff Fisher... didn't hear the question, so I asked it of him, just personally, just quietly, just me and him. I'm like, do you think Homer's going to go for 2 here if he ties the game? And he looked at me like I had 3 heads and essentially kind of cursed at me like, are you out of your...
Right.
Of course you play for overtime. Smash cut to, I'm at a Super Bowl party in Manhattan the next year, and the Rams are playing the Titans, and the Titans are going down the field. And somebody in the room asks... Do you think Jeff Fisher's going to go for 2 if the Titans score here? And there's a whole debate going on. I'm like, look, I don't mean to pull rank here as a sports anchor, but I actually have the definitive answer.
Yeah.
So if anybody is out there wondering, had Dyson gotten that extra yard, would he have gone for 2? Mm-mm. He would not. We would have seen overtime. But he was 1 yard shy. I mean, we're looking at the picture right here. This is insane.
How does he not score?
And in terms of different, you know, the way you look at people differently, how would you look at Eddie George differently right now with that Super Bowl win? Steve McNair with that Super Bowl win? Jeff Fisher?
Those guys might be.
You know what I mean? 1 yard shy.
Eddie George might be in the Hall of Fame.
Eddie George has Hall of Fame credentials.
Yeah. Add that Super Bowl win. And
I mean, we talked, as you know, we kicked off our playoff coverage as soon as we knew the Titans and the Ravens were playing in Super Wild Card Weekend. Ray Lewis and Eddie George together. And Ray absolutely called Eddie George one of his fiercest competitors he's ever had to stop. Legacies, man. That's why this game is the Super Bowl. This is it.
Think about how differently maybe we view the greatest show on turf.
Or maybe so. Certainly in light of
suddenly they're 0
what
for
happened.
2.
Right. Marshall's still a Hall of Famer. I think Kurt is too. But you'd see, hey, well, Kurt never won it.
Right,
blah,
Kurt
blah,
never
blah.
Won.
I know.
Isaac Bruce.
The magic carpet ride. Yeah. Vermeule would be crying either way.
He would definitely be crying.
844-204-RICH is the number to dial here on the show. Steve Smith Sr. is our next guest, and Kyle Brandt after him. Oh, yes. Two great conversations about Super Bowl 55 football and more coming up here on this Wednesday edition of the Rich Eisen Show. Devontae Smith, our Heisman Trophy winner, and more right here on the show. Chris Brockman's news update and more. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. We'll see you on the radio in hour 2.